T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Everybody's always waiting on Friday, watching that clock and sitting on go. What you say, we find a little warm sunshine and open umbrella on the patio.
This is great. Now, DJ, you heard this driving in on the Wolf, right?
Yeah, our sister station, the Wolf, was playing this tune by Little Big Town. It just made me feel nice on a Friday afternoon. I like it.
Made you happy. You have to do what makes you happy, within reason. But I agree. Good tune. Hey, happy Friday. We're going to be having happy hour, as always. This is the first time I've been on Fridays, I think, since mid-March. I was filling in on the Sunday morning show. Nice to be back on Friday. Jura's off today. She will be joining us again on Monday. Glad you could join me today. Look, the COVID task force with Deborah Birx and Dr. Anthony Fauci no longer giving updates, at least not from the White House. But we have our own local experts, and you hear them all the time on CCO. Michael Osterholm, Dr. David Hilden. There's a long list. We're trying to bring the experts to you so you get the information you need to stay safe, unfiltered. Last night, Dr. Anthony Fauci was on Chris Cuomo's show on CNN. They were talking about Thanksgiving and how safe and what precautions should people be taking. I want you to listen to what Anthony Fauci had to say.
I have an issue here because our level of baseline number of cases per day is higher than I want to see it. It's stuck at 40,000. There are regions of the country that are looking good. They've done fine. But what we're starting to see now, and we can't run away from it, we're starting to see the Midwest and the Northwest an uptick in test positivity, which tends to be a predictor that you're going to have surges. Mm. When you go into the fall and the winter, the weather's colder. You tend to be indoors. When you're indoors, it becomes more problematic to be able to block the transmission of infection. So what I'm saying is that you ask me, what do I see for Thanksgiving? It depends. You know, you divide the country into multiple ways depending upon the amount of infection. There's dark green zones and green zones, which are really good. In other words, the level of infection is so low, you're probably, with some mild precautions, do well. Then there's areas of the country that very well might be hot. They may be red zones, where there's enough infection around that you really better be careful when you congregate people, particularly indoors. So I say that some people in this country are going to be able to have a relatively normal type of a Thanksgiving. But in other areas of the country, it's going to be, you better hold off and maybe just have immediate family. Make sure you do it in a way that people wear masks where they have, and you don't have large crowds of people. You know, I'd like to say that everything is going to be great by Thanksgiving, but honestly, Chris, I'm not so sure it is. Mm. We've got to get that baseline of infection down. We're stuck at 40,000. We got to go below 10,000, way below 10,000. Throughout the country, and we got to do it uniformly. I mean, I feel like, you know, I preach this all the time, that we'll get there if we do uniform wearing of masks, keeping distance, avoiding crowds, indoor, outdoors much more than indoors, and washing your hands. And if as a country we actually did it, right, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now, for sure.
That was Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN last night. By the way, I'm taking a couple of road trips in the coming months. Fauci mentioned for those of us who are traveling road trips, it's important to understand our individual risk profile. Some people at much higher risk than others. The CDC says the lowest risk travel scenario is driving with no stops to a destination, with only members of your household, staying in a house or cabin, or bringing your own food and drinks, which sounds like a lot of hoops to jump through, but if you want to stay as safe as possible, that's the CDC guidance. By the way, the U.S. averaging more than 45,000 new COVID-19 positive tests every day. That's more than double what the nation saw back in June. 10 states set records for new cases in the last 7 days, including Minnesota. Wisconsin and the Dakotas now lead all other states in new cases per capita. Wisconsin surpassed 3,000 new virus cases for the first time yesterday. That's more than 200 above the previous daily record set earlier this month. By the way, mask usage, 39% in Wisconsin. 39% in Wisconsin, 45% in the Dakotas, both below the U.S. average of 50%. And yeah, we're all fatigued. Experts say many of us have been letting our guards down. And what we're finding, it's not just a problem for the big cities. It's now showing up in rural areas, hundreds of miles away from population centers. So we'll keep you posted on the virus. When we come back, it's been a dreadful year for everybody, but nonprofits, charities, trying to raise money, in-person events canceled. How do you do that virtually and do it well over a computer? We find out how one CEO pivoted and changed his strategy for his company next. Hey, hope your Friday is going well, and stand by. We want to hear from you for the happy hour at 5:50. It's been a long time since I've had a chance to participate. If there's something you're happy about, and I know these are crazy times, but there's usually always something, at least one thing that you're happy about, text us. You can do it anytime, and DJ will save the best texts here for 5:50. 651-989-9226. It has not been a happy year for event planners, for nonprofits, for charities, trying to get people in a room to make their case and raise money to keep the wheels on the bus. How do you do that when you can't get people in a room side by side? Well, you do it online. And I'm always amazed. It seems like the companies that ultimately survive are the ones that are flexible and adaptable and willing to pivot on a dime, literally overnight, to save their skins, to save their companies and their employees. And many companies have done that this year. Joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is the CEO of a company called IDCOM. And happy to welcome Charles Ide to the show. Hey, Charles.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, I just want to back up and just say that I was so impressed with your company and what you did for Best Prep. Of course, everybody knows Best Prep, financial literacy, career building schools for kids. You know, schools should be teaching this. Many schools do teach that, but I don't think you can teach enough financial literacy skills to young people and even adults for that matter. And so they had their big virtual gala on Monday, a luncheon, and we all held our breath, but it sure seemed to come off without a hitch. And I was amazed, the videos and the live. I did this from my home. I didn't go into the studio, and I was impressed with what your team was able to do. I understand that back in March, maybe you weren't quite so optimistic. Tell us a little bit about the year you've had, Charles.
Well, I tell you, being in the events industry has been one of the wildest rides of my life this year. I'm like looking back at it, thinking about the events industry as a whole. And from a pandemic standpoint, we're kind of like the underwear of the pandemic. We're the first into it and the last out of it, right? And you think about, like, you know, immediately when we found out that this was going to be a big deal, events started canceling. And it's funny because events are over $1 trillion of U.S. economy revenue. And it is absolutely amazing the widespread reach that event dollars have in the economy. And that's all the way down to nonprofits who rely on events to raise money and educate people and move mountains. And so it's been a heck of a year trying to figure out, you know, what do? Do you cling to the past and go, well, we're just going to wait and we'll try and slowly reintroduce? Or do you say, you know, maybe we need to make a change here? And that was what we did. And we were one of the first companies in the country to make an early pivot into creating solutions for events that needed to happen regardless of if we could get together or not.
Did you have a plan on the shelf that you just dusted off for such an emergency? Nobody really prepared for a pandemic where many people are stuck at home for a long period of time. There's really no precedent unless you go back to 1918. But I'm curious, did you make it up on the fly, or is this something you had discussed as a possibility?
Well, I wish I could sit here and say, yeah, we had this plan sitting on a shelf and we were ready for it. But I'll tell you, just like everybody in our industry, we were caught off guard and we said, what can we do? I mean, we want to survive. We want our industry to survive. What can we do? And so we started looking at, let's imagine that people can't gather. How does that work? How do you actually execute on that? And, we looked at a lot of the things we had been doing for our remote audiences already. I mean, since 2003, we've been in business. Probably since 2012, we've been streaming a lot of our customers' events online, including remote stuff where people that couldn't be there in person, we could beam them in. And so we said, okay, well, what if you couldn't gather anybody? How would you do it? We came up with a really solid plan in a matter of weeks and launched a product called the Engagement Hub, which basically is a hub for communication, whether it's, producing a gala or, a multi-day conference.
That's amazing to me. And when did you actually pull the trigger and convert to going mostly online? I mean, was this back in March? Was it April? How quickly were you able to pivot and do so successfully? And how much learning on the job? I mean, I know you guys have amazing technology. You've got great people, but at the end of the day, you're kind of going out on a limb trying some of these things. I'm just curious, was it a rocky start and you quickly evolved and improved over time with these virtual events?
Yeah, I mean, we looked at what was the customer's need. Immediately, they were calling us, canceling their in-person events, saying, we don't know if we can gather. You know, this is before any true mandates were, enacted. And we were all going, well, we can't gather. People are locked down right now. How do you make this work? And so it took us about 2 weeks to come up with a solid plan that would really work. And so that plan started with looking at what did our customer that now had just canceled their events, what did they need to accomplish, and how could we, you remember the scene in Apollo 13 when they said, well, we don't have the equipment on board. We need to get this round peg into this square hole.
Right.
How do we do it? And it was an Apollo 13 process of figuring out what do we have available, what do they need, and how do we make this work right now?
Charles, I'm just curious, what does the data show? Are people as generous when it comes to contributing to their favorite charities or nonprofits? Are they as generous when they're sitting behind a laptop as they are in person, maybe surrounded by friends and colleagues? I'm just curious the dynamics, and are Minnesota nonprofits getting much of the support they need to keep the wheels on the bus?
Well, I it starts with asking about the nonprofit themselves and if they're willing to innovate. And the ones that innovated early on have had a decent gala season. Some of them said, we're just going to cancel. And I truly believe that the ones that decided not to do anything are the ones that are going to either be in trouble or maybe be insolvent at the end of the day. The ones who had internal people that said, all right, we trust you. Let's try this. I mean, we're all pioneering this together. And so when you do an event online, you certainly can get the level of engagement if you spend the time up front making it a quality experience. And that's no different than doing it in person, but doing it online. And so, you know, we've done about nearly 100 events now where you have an online experience, and it's been experimenting in a way, and we've learned now what really works and what really doesn't work. But it is a ton of work and a ton of time. And, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions people have is, well, doing it virtually, can't we just do a Zoom meeting, you know, and have everybody dial in? And the answer is yes. If you want to raise no money and have zero success, you certainly can do that. But making an experience is really tying people's emotions into your cause and bringing them closer.
Charles, we've got about 15 seconds. We're doing a happy hour at 5:50 as we do every Friday. What are you happy about?
I'm happy and grateful that my team is here to help make this work, and that they have stood by my side through thick and thin while we figure out how we can get our industry back to work.
Charles Ide, CEO of IDECOM, congratulations on making the big pivot, and best wishes to you and all the nonprofits and charities you guys are going to support. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, and talk soon.
All right. Happy Friday. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, people are still going to the movies, and there are a couple of great new releases. We're going to get Tim Lammer's advice and reaction next.
How's your daughter's place at?
She gave me my grandson's room. He's not too happy about it.
How do you like your room?
Kid, look, I didn't want it to be this way either.
I just want my room back. Get away from me! Oh, come on.
I want to put up with this, Pete. I demand my room back or else it's war.
Declaration of war. Give me back what is mine or face the consequences.
Okay. Okay.
You got your wish.
What the?
Fast drying foam sealant. I'm gonna get this too.
So let me get this straight. You want me to help you and your buddies, to help beat up your grandson and his buddies because the two of you can't figure out some way to live in the same house?
Well, when you put it like that,
I'm in.
Well, that sounds intriguing. Tim Lammer's streaming reviews and movie reviews brought to you always by Brad Sean Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That was a trailer from the new theatrical release, The War with Grandpa, with Bob De Niro, huh?
Yeah, Bob De Niro. I interviewed Bob. He said I could call him Bob.
Wow.
So I'm going with Bob from now on. We're close buddies. No, that's not really. We only talked a few minutes. But, you know, it was great. It was the first opportunity I had to talk with this legendary actor. And, it was great. You know, we talked about his comedic career and his reunion with Christopher Walken, who is in The War with Grandpa.
Now, you know, I'm amazed that big stars are associated with theatrical releases. My understanding is that many of them, most of them, have been pushed into 2021. Tell us about The War with Grandpa. I'm just curious. A, how many people are still going into movie theaters? And B, did you like this thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it is playing in quite a few theaters in the Twin Cities area and outstate. So that's a good sign. Of course, the other thing is that, you know, we're talking about limited capacity as far as seating is concerned.
Right.
I hope people go to see this movie. I mean, it's a family movie. And if you look at it from that perspective, you're really going to like the movie. I mean, it's a good family, clean, fun, a PG film. Robert De Niro plays a recent widower. He's invited to move into his daughter's home with her family so he can cope with the loneliness. He has to move into his grandson's room, though. And as you've heard by that trailer, the grandson's not too happy. So the declaration of war includes a lot of elaborate pranks. But Robert De Niro's character, Ed, has a few tricks up his sleeve, too, so he doesn't lay down and take anything. So, you know, you got a lot of slapstick stuff, you know, physical humor. But I think really what won me over with this film, Paul, is the fact that when you get somebody like Robert De Niro, who is very much a gifted comedic actor, he still is, you know, all around a great actor, and he layers in some emotion here. You can tell that this man is suffering from a loss and misses his wife, and, you know, so it's a little poignant and sweet, too. So I think that was the big surprise for me and why I definitely recommend The War with Grandpa.
And it's not just Bob De Niro. It's also Jane Seymour and Cheech Marin. I mean, I'm still reminded of the Cheech and Chong days back in the 70s. Now, I know it's it probably has nothing to do with that, but quite an all-star cast.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And in fact, I did talk with Cheech Marin and Jane Seymour, and I actually did bring up Cheech and Chong, because the same year The Deer Hunter came out with Chris Walken and Bob De Niro, Up in Smoke came out with Cheech and Chong. So Cheech actually mentioned something about a documentary on the two of them coming out, so that's cool. That's the other a big appeal for this. There's a lot of great actors. On top of that, you got a guy like Rob Riggle, a comedian who's been around a couple decades. So, very gifted cast. Tim Hill, the director, actually has Minnesota roots. His uncle is George Roy Hill, who directed Redford and Newman and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and The Sting. And his dad was actually born in Minneapolis, and I'm pretty sure, too, about this fact, his family founded the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Huh.
So, you know, interesting tidbit to come out of these interviews, and I talked with Tim Hill as well. But, I think that, you know, obviously this film is for a certain audience, and I always try to look at a film from the intended audience's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm thinking, you know, younger kids who like the slapstick, who like the silliness, and the parents, of course, can relate because they got a lot of great actors to relate to.
I still have fond memories of Sister Mary Elephant and some of the skits.
Signs
of Papers, old man.
You are a Cheech Chong fan, Paul. I mean, that's fantastic, yeah.
Signs of Papers, old man.
I cannot sign the papers. Why can't you sign the papers? Because you have broken both of my hands.
It's classic stuff. I love both of them, and they've done quite a bit over the years. I asked Cheech if they could do another feature film, because that's been a long time. But, you know, he says, well, right now, he says, well, first of all, we got to wake Tommy up. But second of all, always funny. But second of all, they are working on this documentary that chronicles the early days, too. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun talking with them. And you know, again, they clearly all enjoyed working with each other here. Jane Seymour, Robert De Niro, Rob Riggle.
Wow.
For The War with Grandpa.
The War with Grandpa. Here's a new video on demand release called Death of Me.
I can't even remember how we got back to the room last night.
I must have taken some photos. There's a video 2.5 hours long. See if we can figure out what happened.
What are you doing?
A suspense thriller. What did you make of Death of Me?
Well, Maggie Q and Luke Hemsworth are the couple here. They are on a tropical vacation on a small island. They wake up one morning, they're muddied and bloodied and zero recollection of what happened the night before. This is where it gets intriguing, Paul. They're searching for clues, thinking, on my cell phone, I took pictures, whatever. They find a video where the husband apparently murders the wife and buries her. And they're thinking, well, this couldn't have happened. We're standing here looking at it. Well, they were poisoned, or they drank some sort of weird potion given to them, and their memories are gone, and they're having hallucinations. So it's creepy. It has bizarre imagery. There's this ritualistic stuff going on that always freaks me out. So you know what? For a low-budget film, and it looks low-budget at times, it's really, really well done, and it remains a mystery until the third act when things start to come together. So, you know, it's interesting, Paul. This, I don't think, was intended for the theater, but on video on demand, straight to video on demand, doesn't mean that it's not any good. I think this is really, really a solid suspense horror thriller, and I will warn people that it is gory at times.
Death of Me on video on demand. Hey, we only have about 20 seconds left, Tim. We're doing our happy hour at 5:50. What are you happy about?
What am I happy about? Yeah. Well, I'm just happy to be working.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously I get the wonderful opportunities with you and Jordana every week. But, you know, again, when you get opportunities to talk with folks who have made such an impact on the industry, you know, that's always a thrill. And I'm just, you know, happy to have that opportunity. And because I love work, I love what I do. So, you know, don't get me wrong, I love my family first and everything like that. But work is important because it's got to make you happy. And, of course, you got to make a living so you can pay those bills. So I guess that's what I'm thinking about today.
Well, it shows. And, yeah, if you can combine your love with your work, it doesn't get any better than that. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Paul. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim. When we come back, Sloan Martin with more details on what is that smell. She's coming up next. Paul back with you. Happy Friday. Jor's off today. DJ producing and Sloan Martin, as always, in the newsroom, keeping us up to date on what's going on. Sloan, when we talked with you yesterday, you were at Government Plaza and not much going on. Tell us about what you experienced last night.
Well, I mentioned that we know these are always very well organized events for the most part. You know, aside from what we saw when we saw someone take their own life publicly a couple of weeks ago on the Nicollet Mall and how chaos kind of erupted from there. Really, generally, you're looking at, you know, a very well organized event. And that's what we saw last night, where more people showed up. It got to, I think the, you know, unofficial total was a couple hundred, one to two. And after several speeches, they marched through downtown Minneapolis, went to the first precinct, and there was some confrontation there. You know, not the same kind of tenseness that we saw during the initial unrest in May and June, but I think it was kind of a statement of making their presence known still, that their frustration is still being felt after Derek Chauvin was released from prison, and then learning today that the judge in the case allowed him to live outside of Minnesota for his safety. So I'm sure that's something else that might you know, cause frustration for folks who have been out marching and protesting. But it was, you don't want to say it's routine by any means. At this point, it never is, where people are, you know, really stepping up to express their First Amendment rights. But that's what we saw yesterday. And Paul, you know, what I took with me was hearing from, he calls himself George Floyd's nephew, but they weren't related by blood. They were just very close, that they had kind of an uncle nephew relationship. Cortez Rice, I've heard him speak a couple of times, and he said, we don't want to damage the city. And his reason for saying that was because he didn't want to provide more ammunition for the defense to say, let's move this trial out of Hennepin County. It's too hostile here. And okay. So that was an interesting perspective to hear.
Sloan, update us on what's happening at the U with the Board of Regents and those three sports that may or may not continue.
Well, it's crushing news today for many who are community members, donors, alums, and of course, current athletes. So the Board of Regents today voted 7-5 on an amended proposal. So outdoor track and field is safe. And that's a sport that has produced all Americans, all Big Ten, national champions as well. So outdoor track and field is safe. Three sports are being eliminated. That is men's gymnastics, men's tennis, and men's indoor track and field. So while they were able to salvage one sport and one that is very important to the community and doing this reporting, so many people talked about how the track and field team is one of the most diverse that you will see on campus. So it was really important to try and keep those athletic and scholarship opportunities for a diverse array of athletes. But it is still crushing news for those three other sports that after this year will not be able to compete as Gophers. And I talked to the lawyer who was representing a group of alums and current athletes, and he said they are even contemplating a lawsuit against the University of Minnesota because athletes came in expecting to be able to continue their education, to be athletes at the University of Minnesota. That has been taken from them, and what they see as basically scapegoating Title IX and the COVID-19 pandemic. So I don't think this is going to be the end of this battle. And these sports are so important that people are willing to fight for them.
Sloan, I just want to make sure I get this right. This is not just a pause on those three sports because of the pandemic. We're talking elimination in perpetuity going forward.
That's exactly right. And you think about, well, outdoor track and field had been a sport for 130 years, but still tennis has a very long tradition. Gymnastics has produced Olympic level, Team USA level type athletes. And tennis recruits internationally. You have players from all over the planet who come to play for the University of Minnesota and compete as a Gopher. So that is what makes this so difficult. And it also is, it's the financial conversation that it's going to end up saving $1.6 million. And I think that is what is hurting folks a lot, is that in the grand scheme of a $75 million budget deficit, you are ending these really beloved sports for forever for this type of budget shortfall situation caused by a once-in-a-lifetime worldwide pandemic. So I think that is what is hardest for these alums, current athletes, donors, community members who are really upset by this decision.
No, I certainly understand that. Hey, last question. What's that smell, Sloan? Huh?
I have not. Okay, is this, it still smell bad outside? This just shows how I have not been outside much today. Okay, because I noticed it was a little, no, I guess it is still quite hazy outside. I do have a window, lucky for me, but no, I've not stuck my head outside. When we were talking about this story, and you can read it on WCCORadio.com, and I mean, I don't need to explain this, Paul. It's the winds. And it's the dryness that is picking up dust and sediment and odor, of course, from southern Minnesota and the harvesting that's happening there. So that explains, we'll just call it a manure smell, right?
We got a poopy breeze, so don't sweat the showers and thunderstorms, right?
I'll let you come up with however you want to phrase that. But when the proposal first came out this morning over Slack, I just opened my front door and kind of stuck my head out because I had only walked the dog earlier this morning. I was like, oh, I guess it does. Yeah. I guess it does smell. And now you know why.
Little pungent, but it's a warm poopy breeze. So, and thank God for farmers. But yeah.
Exactly.
Sloan Martin, thank you on three fronts. Have a great weekend. Decompress.
You too, Paul.
Thank you, Sloan. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
well,
DJ.
Paul, I just got to say, my wife, who is sort of from Kansas, in where there's a lot of farming and stuff.
Sort of?
Well, she's from a lot of places.
How are you sort of
Kansas
from Kansas?
I don't have time for that story.
All right.
She's sort of from about five different places, but one of them is Kansas, and she spent a lot of time in rural Kansas where farming is a big deal. And I came upstairs from working this morning, and she had the she had the door flung wide open and said, you know, it's got a really nice fall smell out there. It feels like home. So that's how I got introduced to this story today and here to come. You know, I guess for some people, you know, this is the smell of home in the fall if that's where you grew up.
It smells like life. It smells like harvest time. It smells like what I hope is a record harvest. I mean, we'll see. Farmers have been beaten down for a few years. I hope many of them had a very good harvest this year. But Hey, when we come back, I already voted. I want to talk about my experience voting absentee ballots. And Secretary of State Steve Simon is going to be joining us for most of the hour, next hour, the 4 o'clock hour, the Secretary of State here. I have a few questions. Do you have any questions? If you have any questions for the Secretary of State, send us a text, 651-989-9226. Anything voting related. For Secretary of State Steve Simon. He's joining us from 4:15 to 4:45, two segments, and we're going to try to get as many good questions in as we can. Hey, thanks for sticking around. Steve Simon coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.